Okay, good evening. Following our series of Shiurim on Emunas Chachamim, some additional questions came in, one of which I think is very important to address, and I think they're all important to address, but one is very overarching and really has a lot of ramifications in terms of the way we approach our Limud HaTorah. And the question basically is, if I understood it correctly, and if I could boil it down to its essence, is when we read the halachic decisions of the sages, do we have the right to say in a later generation, well, that sage lived in a certain time, a certain place, and therefore perhaps his words were significant and binding in his generation, but not necessarily so in our generation? In response to that question, I want to start with a Rambam. Well, the truth is, we could start with a Mishnah. Mishnah Maseches Edios in Perek Aleph Mishnah Hey. That is the famous principle. Shein Basin Yochel Lavatel Divrei Basin Chavero Achiya Gadol Mimenu Bechachma Ubeminyan. Basin can't come and decide that it wants to overturn the ruling of a previous Basin unless that later Basin is, quote, Gadol Mimenu Bechachma Ubeminyan, somehow greater than the first Basin in Chachma and in Minyan. So from here, we get the concept, the halachic principle, that anything that's a, quote, davar sheba minyan, needs another minyan afterwards to lahatira. Right? She called davar sheba minyan, sarach min acha lahatira. And we'll have to see what that means, but that's going to be an important principle as we move forward in this discussion, namely, a davar sheba minyan. And the Rambam, addressing himself to this principle in Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, writes, based in Shegozu Gezeira, one type of rabbinic enactment, a Gezeira, Otakona, Behenhigu Minhog, so any one of these things, a Gezeira, a Takona, or a Minhog, and we could discuss them each individually perhaps another time, but rabbinic enactments, including Minhogim, that take effect and spread throughout Klal Yisrael. Va'amar achareim based in acher ubikish levatel devarim harishonim. Va'lakar osa takana va'osa gzeira va'osa minag. Any one of them gzeira takana minag. Einu yochol atchi gadol min harishonim bechachma b'minyan. Would not be able to do that unless that later based in somehow was able to rise to level of being gadol min harishonim bechachma b'minyan. So this would mean, let's say for example, someone or someones, individuals, get together and they decide that they want to do away with the minog Ashkenaz of Kitnios. So the reasons that Kitnios were enacted don't apply today. Well, if the minog would fall into this category that the Rambam is talking about, that would be impossible. You would not be able to be mevatel the minig. You'd not be able to mevatel minig. It's the same way. You can't be mevatel a takana or a gezeira once it's taken hold, once Klal Yisrael has accepted it as binding, as controlling. Now, what it means, gadol b'chachma, is a question in and of itself, and what does gadol b'minyan mean? But suffice it to say that as generations go on, we're essentially unable to have a Beis Din that is greater in Chachma Minyan than those that existed in the previous generation. But then the Rambam goes on to say something that perhaps is even more significant, and that is, says that Afilu Batal HaTam, even where the Tam for one of these enactments, namely Gzeira Takana or a Minog, Shibiglalo Gazur HaRishonim Ohetkinu, if they had a specific reason why they were sakin the gezeirah or the takana or the minog, and that reason seemingly no longer exists. Ein ha'achron yichol avatel, again, ad shiyu gedolim mehem. They cannot do away with these practices unless they enjoy that status of being gadol mehem b'chachma u'b'minyan. A very important concept from the Mishnah, very important Rambam. Now, which things fall into this category? Which things fall into this category of Dovah Shem Minyan? And are there things that might be Gzeiros Takanos and Minhagim that might not be Dvarim Shem Minyan? So, I'd like to use as a platform for discussing this a series of tshuvos in the Igros Moshe, which deal with an interesting case. The Gemara says that if a woman loses her husband, Rachman al-Slan, she becomes an almana while she's nursing a child. That is to say, she was married, she had a child with her husband, now her husband predeceases her, and she's left as an almana nursing the child. So we're told that she's not allowed to remarry during the time that she's being manic that child. And the reason is, as explained by Rashi on the Gemara and Ksubas there, Staf Samach Amid Beis, Rashi says that Chazal were worried, Shema Tisaber, she'll get married a second time, V'titztarich Ligmol Aspana, and she'll have to wean the first child. She'll have to stop nursing the first child. Ubal zeh, and the second husband, Enu Aviv, sheyeknelo beitzim v'chalav, he's not necessarily going to take proper care of the woman's first child. So this essentially was a public policy concern that Chazal had, which motivated them to make this enactment prohibiting the woman to get married during the time that she was being manic her child. Now, the Gemara says, Ravu Shmuel, the Amri Charvaihu, Tzvicha Lahamtin, Esrim Va'arba Chodesh, Chutz Miyom Shen Nolad Bo, V'chutz Miyom Shen Es Arsa. Rav and Shmuel seem to be of the opinion that this rule, the rule that Meinika Shemes Bailo, Harezu Lo Teyares, V'lo Tinase, Achi Yula, Esrim va'arba chodesh, that's Reb Meir. Reb Yehuda says, Shmona asar chodesh. And Reb Yonasan ben Yosef says, Beisham yom esrim va'arba chodesh, Beisolom yom shmona asar chodesh. So the statement that we find as the general rule, the underlying rule, is what? Meinika shemeis baila, harei zu lo tiyaris. As long as a woman enjoys that status of being a meinekes, she should not become an arusa, and she should not become an nesuah. She should not get married, she should not become betrothed. And the Gemara says that means 24 months. That's Reb Meir. Reb Yehuda says means 18 months. And then we find that also Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai essentially have the same argument. Rav and Shmuel weigh in. They also think it means 24 months. Again, what's the reason? The reason is we're concerned that the child get the proper nourishment, proper sustenance that it needs before the woman gets remarried, lest after being remarried, she won't be able to properly care for that first child. And this, by the way, is brought down both in the Rambam, Hilchos Geirushin, and Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer, Simin Yud Gimel, Seif Yud Aleph. And the Lashon over there in Shulchan Aruch is as follows. And again, here too, the Lashon is very important. Gazru Chachamim Shelo Yisa Adam, Kadesh Miuberes Chavero. A man should not marry or be ma'ares the wife of his friend. Velo Meinekes Chavero, if she's pregnant, or it means former wife, Almana, the Almana of his friend, if she is either pregnant or nursing. Until Sheyia Levlad Chaf Dalad Chadashim. Unless there's a passage of 24 months, or until the passage of 24 months. Comes along Rav Shlomo Kluger in his comments to Shulchan Aruch. This is in the Chachma Shlomo. And he says the following. This is an unbelievable thing. Because again, remember, the Gemara seems to make clear that a minekes, not allowed to remarry, calls man that she's called a minekes, different opinions, is it 18 months, is it 24 months? Rambam and Shulchan Aruch seem to accept the 24-month rule. Comes along the Chachma Shlomo and says the following. Now understand, this is somewhere after the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch was around the 1500s. Shlomo Kluger is mid-17, early 1800s. And he writes, Tenach b'zman hashas. That rule that we find in Ksubos and subsequently in the Rambam, Hilchos Geirushin, and in Ebenezer Siman Yud Gimel over here, I understand in the time of the Talmud, Shahiyad Derech Rov Hatinokos Liyonek Chavdal Chodesh. Once upon a time, that was the norm. It was the norm for women, or infants rather, to nurse for 24 months. Avali Didon Dinishtanu Hativiyim. It's not the norm. People don't do that anymore. It's not the conventional thinking that people should nurse for that long. V'koltinok eino yonik yosem yirches chodesh. No child gets nursed for more than 18 months. V'yeshagom l'tesval chadashim. And some even wean their children after 15 months. V'adarabba lios yonik yosem yirches have mi'uta d'loshayich. It's not... It's so such a small amount of people, it's almost like it's not even a statistic. The amount of people that would nurse their children, the amount of women that would nurse their children beyond 18 months. V'im kain, get ready for it. L'didon, chazer lios havlad achar yud ches chodoshim, dino kimo l'din hashas achar chavdal chodesh. Unbelievable. An unbelievable statement. What he says is that because the situation in the 1700s, and obviously that's certainly the case now, if not even less than that amount of time, as we'll discuss, but since the 24-month rule of the Gemara made sense in the time of Chazal, so Rosh Shlomo Kluger says, well, we have to look at what makes sense now. And the 18-month rule that's mentioned in the Gemara makes much more sense in the 1700s. What about the fact that by doing this, you're upending a takana? What about the fact that we said any takana that's made by Chazal needs to stay in its place unless the Beis Din that's seeking to change it is greater from the original Beis Din in Chochma Minyan? So to this, Rav Shlomo Kluger says, we're not seeking to totally undermine the whole takana. We're just modifying it. And to modify it, that's not called being mavatel a takana. That's not called a bittel. That's based on a understanding in Tesis and other Rishonim. Let's continue a little bit with the Chochma Shlomo, and then we'll take a look at what Moshe says about this issue in general, and about Shlomo Kluger in particular. Shlomo Kluger, I'm skipping a little bit, he says, it would seem, therefore, that it should be mutter. And he said, use the lashon heter borer. It would seem that it's patently obvious that it should be permissible. Lihinase acha yudches chodesh. At least after 18 months. Ach ma kochi bazeh lahatir neged mashmos kol achronim. He says, but I'm a little bit nervous to paskin this way, since most achronim don't seem to be learning this way. Al kol ponim, but at the very least, Nira litzarif haheter hechadish od snif lahakel. When there's other extenuating circumstances or other svaros to be makel, then I feel comfortable using this as a sniff, as an additional tzad to be makel. Okay. Comes along Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha, first in Eben Ezer Chelek Beis, Siman Tes. Again, it's important to keep in mind why we have this rabbinic rule, and that is, again, we're looking out for the best interests of the child, of the woman's first child. This tshuva is undated. But again, it's Eben Ezer, Chelek Beis, Siman Tes. And Rav Moshe says, Hine, b'chachma shlomo, l'hagan Rav Shlomo Kluger zatzal, kasav, shayanir lo heter borosh bezmanenu, shelo nimtza, misha yonek, yosem yirches chodesh, ein leser la isha milinose, rak ad achar yirches chodesh, v'chazal yosa din achar yirches chodesh, kemo l'din hagemar achar chavdal chodesh. Basically encapsulates the argument, and that is that today, since women don't nurse for such a long period of time, so 18 months would be parallel to the 24 months mentioned in the Gemara, and you would not have to wait 24 months, you could wait 18 months alone. And what about the fact that you have a takana? So he says, no, this is important. This is why this Jew is so important. He says that Rav Shlomo Kluger argued v'leka b'zem yishum davar shenes saber minyan. This is not a davar sheber minyan, which would meet a minyan acher lahatiro. Kevin shulah akrin on kol ha'takana, because they're not being ochre the entire takana. Then he goes on to quote Rayos from his son Rav David Shlita, which prove that maybe this is not such a good argument. That is to say that even where you're seeking to modify the takana or change it in some way, that would still require a minyan acher, that would still be somehow being mavatel a davar sheh b'minyan. So Rav Moshe is starting with the premise that if this is a davar sheh b'minyan, you can't tamper with it. Rav Shlomo Kluger claims this is not called tampering with it because I'm not undermining the whole thing, I'm just slightly modifying it. Rav Moshe dismisses that, so now we're back to square one. If this is Darush HaMinyan, then what are we supposed to do here? Now, to that end, Rav Moshe says the following. He says, Aval Mikol Makom. Nonetheless, even though I still think that this is a problem of a Darush HaMinyan being messed with, potentially, meaning because when you're dealing with Davar Sheh B'Minyan, you still wouldn't be able to modify it in part. Rav Moshe says, I still agree with Rav Shlomo Kluger, not because of his reason, but for a different reason. What does that mean? Nira lani azdaiti kidvarav, mishum shetakana harishona shahaisa b'minyan. Yes, there was a takana here. There was a Davar Sheh B'Minyan here. What was it? It was shelo yisa meinekes chavero v'lo huskar misbar chadashim. The original rule, or the rule, I should say, is a man may not marry the wife of his friend who is pregnant or nursing. That was the takana. The misbar chadashim, Rav Moshe says, that's not part of the takana per se. Lachin pligi b'zeramei, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Ibra the Rav Shmuel his kiru chavdal chodesh u'mashu bayarti mistarba shayazeh b'minyan acher v'lesar kol chavdal chodesh deloker v'shem gamliel aval ha-mispar chavdal chodesh his kiru einu l'takana ela mishum shepasku halacha kirab meir v'alzeh lo haya minyan. He says when it comes to how the halacha was brought down ultimately, he says that was a question of psak. There was a psak. There was a hachra. But this wasn't a davar sheh b'minyan. The davar sheh b'minyan was what? That you cannot marry the wife of your friend who is pregnant or nursing. How did ultimately the Shulchan Aruch come to write 24 months? Because we went with one of the shittos in the Gemara. But he says that was not part of the takana per se. This is very important. Now listen to the next words that he writes. Nimtza she'al misbar ha'chadashim lo haya shum minyan. There was no davar sheh b'minyan. So now what we begin to see is, when it comes to Davar Shebe Minyan, yeah, that can't be tampered with, even though it's issued centuries ago, and even though maybe one could argue and say it might not be contemporary, doesn't matter, that's a Davar Shebe Minyan. But here there's a second component, namely the particulars, which was not a Davar Shebe Minyan. That was a question of Hachra, of that generation. Lachin bizman shelo nimtza misha yonik yoser miyirches chodesh, says Rav Moshe, in a generation when you find that no one nurses for more than 18 months, yesh lahatir, you can in fact be matir, mishum da iser lo yisameinek es chavera lo havi ela al zman hayinika. We stress that at the outset. Meineke shemeis baylo harizeh lo teyares. Who should not be come an arusa or an asua? A meinekes. That's the rule. But who's a meinekes? How long are you called a meinekes? Let's say a woman decides to nurse her child for some exorbitant amount of time. You can say, oh, she has a halachic status of a yonekes, meinekes. Moshe says, and when it came to the number, that's a question of psak. And in a generation such as ours, where women do not nurse more than 18 months, you could be matir, mishum da ha'isr lo yisa meinekes chaver lo havei ela al zman hayinika kefi sheyia b'chol dor. That is very important, and that lashon I'm going to repeat. Ela al zman hayinika kefi sheyia b'chol dor. That's the understanding, he said. In every generation, we're going to have this rule. In every generation, we're going to have this rule. Even in a generation where you might make the argument that a child could be sustained in other ways, you're still going to have this rule that you can't marry a meinekes. But how long is she called a meinekes for? That is, Rav Moshe says, that is a question that will depend upon the metzias of every generation. Umitzad zen, for this very reason, says Rav Moshe, Dittaku shelo lihizacher mispar hachadoshim, mishum shelo asu mispar chadoshim el zman yinika. Maybe it should be lahazkir. For this reason, Chazal were careful. They were particular not to mention a specific amount of months. Yeah, that came later in the discussion. Later. Mishum shalom also mispar chadashim, because the Isser wasn't a specific amount of months. It was the Zman Yunika. Okay, what's the Zman Yunika? So for Rav Meir, shehu afal Zman Yunika dehamiyat. Rav Meir felt that it's the outer limit of what people would do, dying in 24 months. Rav Yehuda says no. We go with what's normal, the average, 18 months. Aval kashinishtanu ativyim, but now, tafshinayin ches, when maybe people aren't even doing that, vein misha yonek yosem miyirches chodesh, no one's doing that, no one's going longer than 18 months. Lo osu ad al yoser mizman hayunika dahamiyut, after a mayor. We're not going to go with anything greater than the miyut. Umitakanas rabbi shmuel, nosef lesser, okay, a different issue, which we're going to leave for the moment. So this is very important. This analysis is extremely important in understanding which types of rabbinic enactments are, for lack of a better term, are fixed, are immutable, and which are subject to reevaluation in future generations. So those which are a Davar Shebe Minyan, and we'll maybe mention some others next week, which have a different status, but those which are Davar Shebe Minyan, Those are fixed the way they were enacted. Now, in some cases, you may have others which are not that way, or even in this case, you might have a component of a Davar Shebe Minyan which is not part of the Davar Shebe Minyan per se, and that is subject to change based on time and place. Rav Moshe goes as far as saying now, he says he has a hard time understanding some of the achronim that are brought in the Otzer HaPoskim, who say that even this Zman is not subject to being changed because it's a Davar Shebe Minyan. And he says, I don't understand that because it's not a Davar Shebe Minyan. And he quotes from he says, that which they bring from the Maram Shik and the Olav Ram and the Meoros Nosan, that the mother Tucha Lishkod Yoser Latovas Havlad Lamasmeis Bebeitzin V'cholav Eino Klum Shebrov HaPamim Hu LaHefech. She ain't a yechol his parnes v'achar nisueha no sing lo habal. Moshe says the reality is that many times the woman needs the new husband to help her sustain the child. V'im hi almana, and if she's an almana, sheish la mos harehi yichol lahasno. So let's say she has money, so maybe you could say she can get married and say that this money only comes into the marriage for the benefit of this child. Ubichlal ein lana lomar taimim biduyim me'atzmeinu. We don't get to make up our own reasons, our own cheshbonos. He's saying this was the reason why we had this gzeira. Rashi told us this was the reason for this takana. V'lachein nira yoser ke'achachma shlomo. Chachma Shlomo seems to make more sense than these other poskim cited by the Otzar poskim. Uka'odach konum she'evi b'Otzar poskim sham. Avalomi taime. Not because of this argument that he made that doing away with part of something is not the same as uprooting the entire thing in terms of Davar Shev Minyan. Again, Rav Moshe says, but only after Yirches Chodesh, only after the 18 months, which was even, it's already a sheet in the Gemara, and that was the average. Now, Medinos Hayiduos Ein Yonkin Klal Yoser Midches. It's unheard of to nurse a child for more than 18 months. Afam Nimashin Soyin Medinos. Even if you'll tell me there are places that do this or people that do this, that's a miyat. That's a minority. And he says, if you tell me that there are those that go beyond that, that go to 24, that's us. We'll call super minority, I guess. Miyat Mehen Ad Chavdal Chodesh Hu Neged. Medino Senu Kiloklum. It's almost like an insignificant statistic because it's so rare. Shaf Miyuta de Miyuta Ein Lahashi. We don't call that a Miyuta de Miyuta. It's so infinitesimal. Aval Ein Lahati Mitzad Zeb Pachos Miyuchas Chodesh. But in this particular Shiva, Moshe says, but you know, less than 18 months, I don't think you should be Matir. Even though in this time and place, Shemedino Senu Rov HaNashim Ein Yonkos Klal, many women don't nurse at all, right? They just give bottles, they give formula. V'hamiyat shayonkos, and the minority that do, who rak l'chadashim watim, they only do a shorter period of time. Mishom da ifsik rameir, d'chashashu b'zeh gam l'miyat. He says, Ramosha says, really what the psak was to be choshesh for the miyat. So we could still be choshesh for the miyat. We could still accept the psak of Rav Meir. In other words, the number, he says, is not really fixed in stone. What's the psak? The psak is to be choshish for the miyat. So it seems, or Moshe says, it seems that you could still say that there is a miyat that goes till 18 months. So we'll be choshish for that outer limit of 18 months and the psak of Rav Meir. He says, and maybe there are still people that do this. At the end of the tshuva, so only a little bit later, Rav Moshe says like this. I guess, and this was the question that he was posed with, but he says, "Lachein kishin itstarfu kol ha'taimim." In light of everything that I said above, yesh lahatir acher chaf aleph chodesh. There's certainly bepshitas. He says, certainly after 21 months, you could be meiko. Listen to this: ve'ein limchos im echad yatir gam acher yidches chodesh. And if someone will be matir after 18, certainly you don't have to be mochi. You don't have to say that they're doing something wrong. Now, the reason why this tshuva is so important, and I'm so excited to be able to share it, is because it really sets the stage for being able to distinguish between different types of takanos, gezeiros, and menagim. Those which are considered davar sheminyan, and those which are functions of psak, which may be left open to change in future generations. Rav Moshe himself says that lashon is, door. Now there happens to be two other tshuvas that I'm aware of. There could be more, but there are two other tshuvos in Negros Moshe that deal with the same issue. And the two I'm referring to are in Chelek Dalid. I mean, essentially repeat this analysis with a little bit of a twist worth sharing. Evan Ezer, Chelek Dalid, Simon Nun and Simon Memtes. More correctly, Simon Memtes and Simon Nun. Simonim Memtes and Nun. Yeah. First Memtes. This is Tafshin Mem Dalet. Tafshin Mem Dalet. Actually, and the Nun is an earlier tshuva, Tafshin Mem Aleph. Somewhere around 1981 and 1984. So the first one was written to his grandson, Rav Shabtai Rappaport. This is Simon Mem Tes. He says, I'm writing to you as soon as I get off the phone with you. Ani kosi zetekef achar hadibur b'telephone. I just hung up with you and I'm writing this to you. B'davar ha'amana, regarding the widow, shabayla meis b'melchama, the woman whose husband died in a war. Asher yesh la kvar yud gemel chadashim achar misas bayla. That's 13 months since her husband died. V'hayalda shenolda lo achar misas bayla kvar gam losa b'zman shenogos hanoshim b'zman hazeh. And the child that she had from the first husband, she already stopped nursing somewhere within this 13 months. And she didn't stop because she thought she was going to get remarried, just because it ran its course, however long that is. The child is not going to lack anything in terms of being supported and sustained. Because the father died in war, I don't know if this is a shaila from Eretz Yisrael, this is a shaila from America. Shabtai Rappaport lives in Eretz Yisrael now, but I don't know where he was at that time. Moshe was writing this tshuva to his grandson, but it's hard to tell where it was going. He says, now it turns out the baby's getting these checks. The baby's getting checks because the father died in war. But now, in the interim, one of the father's friends has offered to marry the mother. Rotze lisaena ulashkiach al baneha shezehu tova gedola l'habanim. Maybe she has other children too, it's unclear. But it will be good for this child for sure, and it'll be good for her. She'll have a husband, the child will have a father, someone to raise him as a child. Va'ad she'tinase lo yavru od shnayim o shlosha chadashim. Until they actually get married, it'll be another 2 or 3 months. She'kar yu yosem mitesav chadashim mimisos bayla. At that time, it will be ready 15 months from the time that the husband died. And he really won't be able to wait any longer than that, another 2 or 3 months, for various reasons. He says he'll get pressure from his family. They won't want him to wait that long, which will be a loss for her. If they don't get married, she's going to lose out an opportunity. Why? Because it's not typical. It's not every day that you have a person who's willing to marry a woman who's A, an amana, and B, has children of her own. Not everyone wants to do that. Not everyone's on the level to be able to do that. But Moshe says, Shelachin Poshut. It is clear. Shemuteres li noselo. She's allowed to marry him. Vim efshar tov l'chakos ara yirches chodesh miledas bita. And if she can't, she should wait the 18 months, presumably for the reasons that he expressed in the previous tshuva. And here comes the twist. Aval kishelo efshar, yesh lahatira tekef. Even before the passage of 15 months. Do you see Rav Moshe really holds that the number was not a hard and fast principle? And you could even negotiate on 18. All things being equal, yeah, you should try to keep to the psak of 18. But where that's not possible, even 18 is not necessary, even if it's less than 15. And then similarly, in the following Simon Nun, Rav Moshe goes through a similar case with a couple of other details, but essentially dealing with the same principles. I'm not going to read the tshuva in its entirety. At this point, it's somewhat duplicative. Afkishin is... I'm sorry. Af kishetigmalenu bezman sheregilos hamenikos bezman hazeh du bashlamos yudbeis chodesh. Now, Rav Moshe says this is Tavshin Memalef. This is to his son-in-law, Moshe David Tenlashlita. He says even if a woman would stop within 12 months, dafim neima shaleka ruba shayonkos kol yidu beis chodesh, maybe you'll say that most women don't go full 12 months, mikol moko miut gadol vadei, there certainly is a minority of women that go for a full 12 months, yesh vechmiru bazeh gam b'shvil miut, and you see that when there's a miut, the psak was that you are machmir for the miut, like Rav Meir. Rav Meir held you go with 24 months, because there was a miut that would go as far as 24. So Rav Moshe says, listen, 12 is certainly still the miut. Aval achra yud b'yizchosh kemat shaleka b'medino seinu, shalachin yish lismuch af b'pshitos lahatir b'grusha kishiyel atinok yud b'yizchodesh. The woman here was in a situation where, again, it was important for her to get remarried. And Rav Moshe says, in a case like that, 12 months, even 12 months, because that's the miut, you could certainly allow. What happens to 24 months or 18 months? Again, we saw that was this thing that's a function of the generation. What about the fact that maybe in a particular situation, child has money or other resources? Would we say, well, the whole thing falls away if the woman's nursing? No, we would not say that, because that was a Davar Sheva Minyan. The particulars of the Takana, that's not part of the Minyan, and that is more negotiable. So here, at least we have our first introduction to this issue of Davar Sheva Minyan, and those things which are not Davar Sheva Minyan, and those things being the details, at least in this case, the details of a Davar Sheva Minyan, which are not included in the original Davar Sheva Minyan, and were simply functions of psak, which are open to being revisited in future generations. Okay, we'll stop here, and Bli Nadar, next time we'll examine a different set of rabbinic enactments and their categorization. Okay.